Getting your day started.
Go ahead.
With the morning shift.
Time for the show.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I truly believe that football, like life, is not simply about what you do, but rather who you do it with. And I was a better player because of the people I was surrounded by. So today, 16 years after being drafted, my childhood dream has officially come to an end. I'm honored to retire as a Falcon. Thank you to all the Falcons fans for your continued support.
That was Matt Ryan as he penned a Dear Atlanta letter that he had posted to his Instagram. It's also on the Atlanta Falcons page as well, on X. And so a very heartfelt message he just had there expressing how he feels about having gotten to wear a Falcons jersey, have a long career here with this organization. So...
Not shocking. He did a great job, right? Not shocking. He did a great job, as far as that Instagram video goes and the words that he wrote out. And with the whole thing yesterday, good job by the Atlanta Falcons. Job by, obviously, Mr. Blank and making sure all this goes off without a hitch. And there is something special about it. 16 years to the day after he was brought here to the city of Atlanta by, Thomas and Mr. Blank and Mike Smith. So it's... It was a fitting end, unfortunate, I guess, in some ways, but fitting in nonetheless for Matt to go out like that and be able to kind of give some of his own words.
As for what's next, he has talked about how he has enjoyed his career so far with the CBS family and being an analyst for games this season. He was also asked about the possibility of coaching and maybe coaching with the Falcons organization. Take a listen to his response.
I know this. I don't want to coach. I'm certain of that. I feel like I you put so much into it as a player for 15 years, and you know, there's this immediate, you know, kind of withdrawal from it. But I know what those, you know, roles look like, and how invested and how hard those guys have to work, and the level of expertise and work that it takes to get there. And so, no, I haven't had any of those conversations. I've really been enjoying kind of the broadcast side of it, and have had a lot of fun with that.
Broadcast side of it, way easier than coaching. Having lived through being a kid of a coach, and if you've been around coaches, you know, yes, the work that the players put in is tremendous, but the amount of time spent at the facility and probably away from their families and just the stress that comes with being a coach in the NFL, I can definitely understand why him getting to see some of it firsthand. Yeah, I would stay in the booth myself, too, if I had a choice like he did.
Yeah, I don't want this to come off like a kind of a hateful thing or a jerky thing, but I'm not sure why a guy that made, almost $300, maybe over $300 million in his career would need to go then spend that much time away from his family that he's already done and put that – because, look, I'm not knocking coaches, but what I'm saying is it's a thankless job to be a coach. You get paid well. But you spend
do it for the love of it. I'm not saying he didn't love, you know, he doesn't love it because he doesn't want to coach, but
yeah, but you sacrifice. You sacrifice so much. And I think with the other thing that I don't know if people really know, and I'm not trying to put anybody's business out there, but it was a long process for them to start a family, him and Sarah. And now that they finally started one, they've gotten their third child was just born. I think that he wants to have that time, and he doesn't need to go coach to spend all that time away from his family and at the facility. Tiffany, you're absolutely right. You either need it or you love the actual coaching part of it so much that you want to spend so much of your time there. And I just don't think that's for him.
No, I think in a lot of ways for him personally, you know, the hay is in the barn, to use a coaching term and coaching terminology. He's done his work, man. It's time for him to rest a little bit. I know that he doesn't want to get too far away from the game. That's why he is sitting in the booth, and he's bringing his expertise to us on the weekends of breaking down the game and giving his thoughts on different quarterback play and the Falcons and all over the league. But to your point, coaching is a different beast. I did it at one of the lower levels and became a high school coach. And I used to get questions all the time of, hey, are you trying to move to the college ranks? Do you eventually want to be a college coach? And the answer was always the same. Absolutely not. I don't want to be a college coach. I don't want to spend time on the road recruiting and time away from my kids. And I know that that's how Matt Ryan feels. He doesn't want to spend time at the combine and traveling to different workouts this time of year and having to do all that stuff at the facility. He wants to be around his children, Little League ball, and doing all those things and enjoying vacations down in Hilton Head or wherever else he chooses to go. So, and he's earned that right. Like you said, he's the hay's in the barn. He's got his zeros, and he gets to kind of chill out now.
One of the other topics that was discussed at his press conference was that Super Bowl. Yes, that Super Bowl. He did share his thoughts on it and some of the pain of how it feels to not be able to bring that championship back here to Atlanta.
Yes. Yeah, it does. You know, it hurts. I think that's, you know, it's one of the things I think that is always a part of you, right? That falling short of what you ultimately set out to do is tough. But that's life. You know, there's so many things in your life that are going to go that way. And, you know, you've got to pick up and move on. I remember seeing a Winston Churchill quote, and it's, you know, success isn't final and failure is not fatal. What counts is the courage to continue on. And I think back to that is, you know, of course we would have loved to have won that. And it's, of course it still hurts, but you've got to have the courage to continue on. And one of the things I was most proud of, you know, in my career is that 2017 football team of having to answer the question that I still get asked, you know, every day for the course of that season and grinding our way back into the playoffs, winning a playoff game out in LA and then ultimately, you know, falling a little short in Philadelphia. That was a hard season on that group. And, you know, it was a resilient and tough bunch.
And I know we were there covering the team and having to hear people ask the questions. That training camp following that Super Bowl loss.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Was
embrace the suck year is what Dan Quinn's motto was that year.
That's exactly what it was. But you can imagine just being a player and probably one of the worst moments in your career as an athlete to lose a Super Bowl or be on the losing end of one. And then the next year, you're trying to move on, but you still have to have the media is going to tell their narrative of, hey, how's this team going to respond after falling in the Super Bowl? What's this season going to look like? And so you've got to find a way to have to deal with those questions while focusing on your season and yet handle it with grace. And Matt Ryan did exactly that.
Yeah. I try my best to not give it any credence when somebody makes a comment about that. And I was not part of that team, but everybody around the NFL wants to talk about that, and I try not to give any credence. I was actually still cutting my teeth in the radio business, and I remember going on, I was with Stake, and we were actually the first to interview Matt Ryan after that Super Bowl loss. It came like 2 months later at his golf tournament up in Sugarloaf, and the first question I had for him was, have you watched the film? Like, have you gone back and actually watched the film? Have you been able to do that and gut it out? And he said no, and it had been, like I said, close to 2 months, I think, at that point since the game. And he had just not found the ability to go back and watch the film. He said eventually he probably would. But still at that point, he did not want to go see it. And so I hate that that's the topic of conversation. I hate that he got asked it yesterday. You would have rather been like, hey, how special was that Super Bowl team? But nonetheless, that's where we're at. And he's going to continue to be asked about it. I hope to not give it any credence along the way.
Yeah, whenever somebody asks me about him and in that game, I obviously talk about how well he played in that game and that postseason. But I always talk about the fact that, you know, Arch and I were in that locker room as they're coming in. You know, we got in there. We were walking in around the same time they were. And we were standing in there, and there's a lot of emotions in that room. And Matt Ryan meets with Arch, or the quarterback of the Falcons meets with Arch, as we know we play it a lot, after every game. And obviously that was Matt's job then, and he was one of the players we talked to. And the way he handled that interview, and I even saw Ed Werder put out something yesterday that he also had interviewed Matt. And Tiff, I'm sure you met with him as well after Super Bowl, because I know you were covering. And I mean, it's like Matt handled it like any other loss with the media, as in he was extremely professional, and that's so hard to do. And we don't see everybody do that. Not everybody can handle it that way. And that's one of the things that he should be remembered, is that when his friends always would complain about, well, I want more emotion. He treated people the same no matter what. Never treated the media any different way when he had to meet with them. It was always class.
And you used the phrase how he should be remembered. And so that was something that was brought up during the press conference. When you think of names like Dominique and Chipper here in Atlanta, you know, where does Matt Ryan stack up in Atlanta sports figures? Listen to his response.
As far as, you know, looking back and, you know, how other people see you and, you know, I'm just proud to be a part of it. You know, there's some unbelievable athletes who have come through Atlanta, you know, whether you're talking about Dominique or Chipper or you name the pitcher for the Braves, right? Like, there's just some unbelievable guys that have come through this city and been able to play at a high level for a long time. And just to even be mentioned, you know, with those guys, to me, you know, I think back of those Braves guys, they like ruined my childhood growing up as a Phillies fan. So then I got to meet them and I'm like, really? Like, so, you know, to be a part of that conversation is special to me.
It is an interesting conversation, too, of, you know, kind of where he fits in Atlanta sports history, because to me, he is the greatest Falcon that's ever put on that jersey and ever played in the George Dome, Mercedes-Benz, or whatever else. But then you do think of a guy like Chipper, and you go to the Hawks, and you talk about Dominique, and I know that Trey Young enters that conversation for a lot of people, and, you know, there's a number of Braves, and he mentioned you can name kind of name the pitcher, and Ronald Acuña is coming off an MVP year. But he is squarely in that conversation, and it's honestly hard for me to kind of differentiate. You know, Chipper Jones did have that World Series back in his rookie year in 95. The championship question is always going to be asked about the city of Atlanta, and Dominique faces that question, and a number of other people do. But Matt Ryan is right there on that Mount Rushmore, and there's no question in my mind about it.
Yeah, I don't see how you can remember some of the guys that didn't win titles here like they did and then treat Matty differently. I don't know how you can do that. I mean, he is the greatest Falcon of all time. You know, he will be for what a lot of fans that grew up during his, you know, the time he was playing, he's going to be the first Falcon they think about. It's going to be Matt Ryan and Julio.
Yep.
The way, you know, you think about other, you know, like, look, I think about Dominique and Kevin Willis. Like, those are two guys that I grew up watching back in the day. I know you remember those guys in those early 90 teams. I remember where I was when I found out that Dominique Wilkins had gotten traded for Danny freaking Manning and how upset I was. But, I mean, you know, that's probably the way – that'll be that way for some kids that in 20 years from now, hopefully, well, maybe 25.
Yeah, and
I don't want to give up my age.
Listen, I was researching for a Top 5 Tuesday. It'll be coming up at 7:40, as always. And looking back on the highlights of Matt's career and trying to kind of piece where each of those plays go, man – some really, really good plays and some great football teams and games and players, and watching the Roddies and Julios and Tonys that I got a chance to play with, man. Some special, special times. And I hope everybody out in their cars will enjoy that, man, because I really enjoyed putting that list together.
When we come back, we're going in the huddle and we're going straight to a league investigation involving tampering and the Falcons and one other NFL team. We'll discuss next on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's more than just sports talk. This is The Morning Shift.
I'm in.
Me too.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close. Bring it in close.
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
With In The Huddle. Brought to you by the Good Feet Store Premium Art Supports. Learn more at goodfeet.com. On The Morning Shift.
Back in going in the huddle, this report from ESPN senior writer and insider Adam Schefter. He says the NFL's investigation into alleged tampering charges against the Falcons for their involvement with then-free agent quarterback Kirk Cousins and the Eagles for their involvement with then-free agent running back Saquon Barkley is ongoing and could reach a conclusion as early as this week, per his sources. He goes on to say the sources believe the discipline, which is likely to involve draft picks, is expected to be more severe for the Falcons. And he gives two examples of tampering discipline from the NFL. The Dolphins forfeited their 2023 first-round pick and a 2024 third-round selection for tampering with Tom Brady and Sean Payton on three occasions from 2019 to 2022. And then their owner, Stephen Ross, and also their chairman were both fined severely. And then there's another example of the Chiefs forfeiting their 2016 third-round pick and 2017 sixth-round selection for tampering with Jeremy Maclin. That was back in 2015. And again, they were fined heavily, as was head coach Andy Reid and their general manager John Dorsey at the time. So those are two examples of the penalties that could team could face if they are indeed involved in tampering.
Yeah, I would think it'd be closer to the Maclin penalty than it would be the Dolphins, so the Chiefs one. Because the Dolphins one, you tampered with Tom Brady during a season when he was under contract. And if I'm not mistaken, I think from what I kind of heard, you kind of tampered with Sean Payton the exact same way during a season.
Yeah, sure. That's what, yes.
When he was under contract. Not just out of the season, but like during the actual season and when games are being played. And that's a big deal. Not to mention it was two. I think it's a little bit silly because there is a legal tampering period. But I know that it's where only they can talk to your agent. But let's be real, if Kirk Cousins has agreed to a deal, why can he not talk to the trainer? I mean, that's just me. I understand. I'm not a big fan of...
You're going off of what is in further into the report.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. Okay. I just want to make sure you clarify that.
Yeah, because that's one of the things that the people that they suspected. There's also been rumors that maybe he told them to get Darnell Mooney. Now, he could have told his agent that. And his agent, he could have said, hey, I'd like to play, tell them, you know, and I thought that would be legal since, you know, that's who they're allowed to talk to. My problem with this whole thing is being pushed by a few people that normally push negative narratives about the franchise. And that's the guy that copy and paste people's articles online and then gives a write-up on it, you know, the guy that runs Pro Football Talk.
Well, he lives in your head rent-free because we're just talking about Adam Schefter here in this report.
Yeah, but the person that's been peddling this the most, Schefter's obviously been report has been that little Florio man because he has a he has a mean on for the franchise.
Yeah, he wasn't kept in the loop, so he's upset about it.
He's always upset about something.
He is always upset
likes
about
him.
Something, man. And it's frustrating. I think the frustrating part of this, guys, is the possible timing of it. And that's what really. I don't want to say it makes me nervous, but I think that's the scary part. If you're a Falcons fan and you're kind of holding your breath waiting for this to come down, and you know the first round of the draft is just a little over 48 hours away, because when we talked about it, and Tiff just read it right here on the page, the Tom Brady and Sean Payton, they were tampered with from 2019 to 22. And that came down where they, you know, they had an issue in 23. That was their, you know, what they paid for it with. The Chiefs forfeited their 2016 third rounder and 2017 sixth rounder after tampering with Jeremy Maclin in 2015, right? We are only a month plus removed from Kirk Cousins signing with the Atlanta Falcons, and yet this is right around the corner. Schefter's, it's coming. Why now? Like, why are we in such a hurry? Don't tell me we're trying to get this done before this draft, because I'm going to lose my mind, as will a lot of Falcons fans, if all of a sudden we've talked about the draft in the first round and everybody that we need to take, and the entire scouting department's made their plans. They've gone on all these trips, and now all of a sudden something changes Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I don't think that you want to talk about being mad.
Well, I don't think there's any way they can take a first round pick. I just don't think there's any way. I think it would be egregious to do that. It would be one of the worst punishments in the NFL for something that everyone else does.
Do you think they could make him switch places with Minnesota, because that was the other team involved?
So you
want to talk about Minnesota feeling good? They'd be like, yeah.
No, I don't. You know what? The problem for me is Minnesota publicly kind of had a deadline for when they thought they would know by and when they would kind of move on. And that, you know, unless they find the tampering happened before that deadline.
I mean, you could only hope that it's the scenario that I listed with both of these, the former teams with the Dolphins and with the Chiefs, that it happens the following year, and that the immediacy is just that they're going to have the conclusion this week, not that they're going to get docked this week.
That's kind of my point, is that it scares me when Schefter comes out and says it's close to, you know, a conclusion. Like, why now? Why are we talking about this now?
If they made you switch spots with Minnesota, which would be the 11, right?
Yeah.
That would basically, then that would turn the Kirk Cousins deal into a sign and trade.
I would have to go look at history of teams that have been fined for tampering and see when the punishment was levied.
I mean, we're pretty
team.
Much looking at it. I don't know I don't know that there's anything deeper than what we just talked
the
about
earliest,
with Macklin and Tom Brady.
The earliest,
these are the most recent, is what two examples. These were two examples that were listed within the article.
Well,
so.
And yeah, with the early the example that comes to mind that happened the most recent was the one that just happened with the Cardinals and the Eagles, where the Cardinals tampered with Jonathan Gannon and they supposedly talked to him before their window was open. And I think they got like a fourth round pick out of it. They got a fourth round from the Eagles and then traded like six or something like that. I don't remember the exact.
Yeah, but you just answered my. You're answering one of my questions, so it's not just these two.
No,
that
there's.
Listed. It's there. Obviously is more.
Yeah, but that was a coach. Maybe that's different. I don't
know.
Know
in the punishment, do you recall when
it happened? The day of the draft, last season.
So that happened.
Yeah.
That immediate.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
thank you.
And that was with a coach. That happened the day of the draft last year. I remember that specifically. But look, you know, if they take a. What I think we have a six, right? Or we have a six or we don't? We have
I think
a
we
six.
Have two
we have
six.
A six.
Yeah.
But we don't have seven, is that it?
No, we don't have
so
seven.
So if they take one of our sixes.
I think.
Okay.
I think that'd be lucky at this point.
Okay.
I'm holding my breath for something much worse.
I think it's going to be worse than that. I don't think a six would even be a blip on the radar, right? But I think based on the fact that it's Kirk Cousins.
Hopefully the punishment fits the crime.
You know my biggest issue with this.
I'm not rooting for this. I'm just saying, I think it's going to be something worse.
No, you're giving what you think it might be. You know my biggest issue with it is that what we're talking about seems to have happened during legal tampering. That's my biggest issue.
Same.
And I know the rules. I know the guidelines. I don't need you to tell me them. You know, nobody needs to do a wake-up call. Oh, you're just not understanding. I get the parameters. But just do away with that then. But you do this. See, this is where the NFL and the one thing I will agree with some people who have issues with everything, especially this organization, is you're making it up as you go at times when the league comes down with these rules. You are. There's no set rule. There's no set penalty that if you do this, it's exactly what you get. You're doing a judgment case by case, which works out for some people and doesn't for others. But then you do this legal tampering for extra buzz, for extra pub, to make free agency week-long instead of just a couple-a-day pop. And then teams get penalized from it. And I think there's just a
sliding scale.
Yeah, and there's a line that you're like, oh, we're okay with all this, but don't you do this, and we're going to get you. We're going to get you.
Right.
You know, go get somebody else.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. What you got for Mike Dutt?
Oh, you already know it's Top 5 Tuesday. It's the top five. I was going to call it plays, but it really turned out to be comebacks. Top five comebacks of Matt Ryan's career. Man, what a fun time going down memory lane. You won't want to miss it. Coming up on the other side, Top 5 Tuesday. I'm Mike Dutt. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
What are the haps? Start the day the right way with the Morning Shift.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
All right.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up.
On the Morning Shift.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Top 5 Tuesday. It's Mic'd Up. It's Mike, Tiff, and Bo hanging out with you on this beautiful Tuesday. I'm excited to get out in that weather a little bit. It's always funny sitting here, guys, and the sun comes up and hits the buildings out in Buckhead, and we don't ever know what the weather's going to be like in the morning when it's dark outside. So it's always fun to look out and see the blue skies. Today's top five is the most clutch plays from Matt Ryan's career, and obviously he signs the one-day contract yesterday with the Atlanta Falcons, hangs it up, did a great job in his press conference, puts the video out on Instagram. I don't know about you guys, but just an incredible amount of memories. Obviously, a teammate of mine, both of you guys, worked in around Matt Ryan for the most of his career. And so just a great competitor, great dude, a lot of great comeback plays. I think some of these y'all will probably have an issue with because they're not all Falcons wins, but they're just most clutch plays. They're not all Falcons wins. Is that going to be okay for you?
So it's not comebacks. It's not best plays.
Well,
it's clutch plays.
Comeback
is... I'm just confused on what you're
comeback can be a little bit of a moving target because, yeah, some of them are comebacks. Doesn't mean they always won in the comeback. Is that okay?
I just want to know the criteria, man. That's all. Is it a subcategory?
It's just most clutch plays. Most clutch plays from Matt Ryan's career. I think you'll enjoy it. I did not put, like, for example, I thought one of his greatest plays might have been his first touchdown throw to Michael Jenkins, which you'll remember was his first, I think it was his first throw of his career,
was
it not?
First NFL pass.
Goes the distance. And
as Wes Durham said, he lives in Atlanta.
Yeah, he lives in Atlanta. but nonetheless, man, I think it's most clutch plays. Unfortunately, this first one we got to get to is not a Falcons victory.
Number five,
it's 2018 week 11 against the Cowboys. The Cowboys are up 19-12 at this point. The ball is on the, the ball's on the Cowboys 34-yard line. All right, so I guess we're not going to get that sound right now. Nonetheless, let's go to number four. Number four, 2015, week eight. This one's against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay 20, Atlanta 13, 26 seconds left. Ball on the Falcons' eight-yard line.
Everybody's set. Jones left, Hardy and White to the right. Tammy's the tight end. Clock starts to turn. Snap to Ryan. Matt go look. Now, pumps, throws. Touchdown!
Do you remember if the Falcons won that one or not, Squid Billy?
Of course I do.
The Falcons and the Bucs go to overtime, 23-20. The Buccaneers win in Atlanta on that one. Atlanta falls to 6-2, 3-1 at home. But nonetheless, a really, really clutch play from Matt Ryan in that one. Okay, I promise that's the end of me trying to rip the Band-Aid off. The number five was the 2018 Week 11 against the Cowboys. The comeback to that one, the hitting Julio down the right sideline. Number four, 2015 Week 8 against Tampa Bay. Number three will be in 2012. A lot of people remember this one. This one's actually on Thursday night. It's week four. Actually, this one was not on Thursday night. It's week four. Carolina was up 28-20. And here's what happened. The Panthers are driving, right? I think it was a third and three, third and two. And I'm going off memory on this. Third and three or third and two. Cam Newton keeps the ball. Dives for the first down. His body makes the first down, but Cam fumbles it shy. And then they are forced to punt. Captain Munnerlyn comes into play, and Captain Munnerlyn downs it on the 1 yard line. Captain Munnerlyn's such a good special teams player. But here's
a good name.
Let's move on to number three.
Number three.
All right, number three. Like I said, 2012, week four, Carolina 28, Atlanta 27. Ball on the Falcons' 1 yard line.
Here's Ryan under center. No whistle. Matt on first down, play action, steps up, gonna sail it, White's out there, and Roddy makes the catch at the 40-yard line! Holy smokes! Holy smokes! Clock is running, no timeouts left. Snap, spot, kick is away.
There you go, Matt Brandt kicks the 40-yard field goal. 5 seconds left, Carolina wins. Atlanta wins 30-28 over Carolina.
So it was Nakamura was playing free safety.
Yeah, he was.
And I remember
he got mossed.
I remember because Arch and I always had we've always had communication. He's like, they can't cover us.
Yeah.
And Nakamura was definitely not covering either Roddy or Julio, and he was one of the victims in that play to Roddy. I remember that. I mean, I remember that just like it was yesterday because he just – this was in that phase where he just had it. Like, it was – and the comeback stuff was just so prominent. Like, they won so many close games when you were there,
yeah.
Mike,
yeah.
In 10, 11, and 12 with them leading back down the field.
All right, let's move on.
Number two.
This one was a Thursday night game that I think everybody remembers. This is week 10. Ray Lewis and company come to town. Baltimore is up 21-20. It's first and 10. Matt Ryan's going to make some magic happen.
Blitz again. First and 10. Ryan. Roddy White. He'll walk in. Touchdown, Falcons.
What a fantastic job by Matt Ryan of seeing the blitz and then buying time by rolling to his left And that gives them the time to find him down the field for six.
It's just funny, guys, because watching this, and this is a Thursday night game. This is NFL Network Thursday night. And when you look at the play, I kept being like, no, he didn't push it off. In classic Roddy White fashion, Roddy White goes into the locker room and goes, yeah, I pushed off.
I'm sure you remember this well, Bo Morgan.
Yeah, well, that was my first year doing anything with the radio network, and that was pre-half and post. And I was when Thursday night games were just coming around.
Like, yeah, they were.
They were really new. And I was like, what is this, Thursday night game? I get the weekend off? Hell yeah.
That was my rookie year, dude.
And, dude, I remember having that argument with people. And on Twitter, they didn't push off.
Yeah. I'm like, I was the same way. I got all this pride in my new teammate in this crazy NFL game. And, dude, you want to talk about starstruck. You know, you're watching Ray Lewis and company and all these other players that are just, you know, legends of the game. And Roddy White goes out there, makes magic happen. I'm like, what a great play. And Roddy's like, yeah, I pushed off, man. Of course I did. You know, I play wide receiver in the NFL. I was up to the safety. But just an awesome, awesome play. And one of the more clutch plays in Matt Ryan's career in that comeback win against the Ravens nonetheless. The Falcons win that one 26-21. They did a good job against Michael Turner that night. I remember, man. He only had like 40 yards rushing. Snelling had a good game as well. But that was fun nonetheless. All right, and then moving on, let's go ahead and finish it up.
Number one,
a lot of people remember this as the moment that he became Matty Ice in Atlanta, and obviously that's a nickname that was earned in college. But this one goes all the way back to 2008, guys. Week 8, Chicago's up 20-19. They score to put the game away. They get kicked off to with 11 seconds left. It's a squib kick. Harry returns it back out to the Falcons 44.
Yeah, I remember where I was. This was the first year in radio for me, and I remember that I wasn't doing anything with the games. I was actually running a Bobcat for a buddy's helped grade his backyard.
And is that where you were?
I was a junior in college.
That's where I was, but Tiffany, I had just arrived, and I'd been watching the game, and now I was listening to it on the radio, and I wouldn't get out of the truck because I didn't want to start the Bobcat work without knowing who won.
I mean, when you listen to the broadcast, too, and we'll get to the audio, when you listen to the broadcast, it's like it was like already, like, you know, the Bears had won. Kyle Orton was playing quarterback that day. Just a number of other funny players to watch on the field. But with 6 seconds left, there's no way that Matt Ryan can do anything, right?
So they'll get one more play with 6 seconds left.
Well, I don't know that you have time unless it's a deep outside route to get a throw in and position yourself for possibly a field goal.
Thanks, Brian Billick.
And now Ryan drops back. Throws, and it is caught. Jenkins out of bounds. 1 second left. They're going to have a chance to win it. Ball caught at the 30. This will be a 47-yard field goal try by Elam, who can go from goat to hero in the blink of an eye. Field goal try for Jason Elam to try and win it for the Falcons over Chicago. The snap, the hold.
Yes, it was good. That's Jason Elam giving the Falcons the improbable win over the Bears, 22-20. Man, just quite the stroll.
Goat to
down
hero.
Memory lane.
I have the terminology has
yeah, that's
has
mixed up
a
little
lot,
bit, hasn't
so.
It? That's yeah. kind of changed a little bit over the years.
I was like, wait a minute, he went from the greatest of all time. And if you hear that now, you're like, what?
What?
You also mentioned Brian Billick. I mean, that's Mike Smith's brother-in-law,
and that's his first year in the booth, Mike.
I know.
That's Billick's first year out of coaching in 2008. The first touchdown pass, the first pass ever being a touchdown, you're like, maybe we have something.
Right.
But that play for me as a fan was like, well, this guy's good.
Yeah, most clutch. It just an unbelievable throw given the situation with 6 seconds on the clock. There's only one throw to make. And credit to Michael Jenkins and all these guys, really. You know, you look at the catch. You mentioned Roddy White's catch against the Carolina Panthers, Julio Jones on a number of these, number five in 2018 against the Cowboys. They're all just extremely clutch plays. And that's what Matt Ryan was. That's what I remember him as the Falcons quarterback. And, again, hat tip to him. On just an incredible career. He's the greatest Falcon of all time. Don't at me.
Real quick, we were talking, and Tiffany, you talked about his 16th season earlier, and I told you that I thought his 18th season was good too. Matt Ryan's 2018 completed 69% of his passes for 4,924 yards, 35 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. I mean,
that's pretty good.
Well,
pretty
considering
good last
his,
I check.
Considering his MVP year, he completed 69.9%, 4,944 yards, 38 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, almost identical stats in 18 and 16.
Impressive. Very impressive. Well, if you have some thoughts on this Top 5 Tuesday and Mike's list, you can weigh in on that. Or if you just want to share your memories and your thoughts on Matt Ryan and his career with the Atlanta Falcons, you can do just that in our wake-up call. Call us at 404-726-0929. That is what is coming up for you here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.